You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Never wants to shy away from doing things the unconventional way. The Daily Maverick team have looked at the declining print circulation numbers and decided to pull a yuppie shift, going from clicks to bricks, so to speak, with the announcement of the launch of Daily Maverick 168. It's a new weekly narrow broadsheet, which will make its debut towards the end of September. It launches during a torrid time for South Africa's print titles, with most cutting staff and salaries in response to the fallout in print advertising during COVID-19. Stilly Charalambos is CEO and publisher of the DM. Stilly, I think the most important question is, will you have decent crosswords?
Absolutely. We've done our research. We know that crosswords and diversions are a big part of building habits with our readers. We've actually started them in digital already, so they were definitely top of the list when we were planning the next content.
Now, you've been one of the few media companies to really grow during a tough time for the media over the last few years, and I think it's down in part to a very interesting hybrid revenue model that you have. It's part philanthropic support, obviously the commercial underpin, and a membership program as well. You've managed to double your newsroom in 24 months. You've got my former producer, Ruan, so you guys are obviously with the A-team there. Where this announcement is very interesting, though, is the partnership here between Pick and Pay and yourselves. Just to explain how the partnership is going to get people to get the magazine and also get people into Pick and Pay stores.
Yeah, so, you know, we wanted to make our journalism accessible to as many people as possible. And, you know, we don't believe in putting up paywalls in digital. And, you know, we were looking at the print model and how could we replicate that philosophy in the tangible print world. And we thought, well, you know, we do want to make this as free and as accessible, you know, cost-wise to as many people as possible. And, you know, in our brainstorming sessions, you know, it was actually our printers suggested, well, why not go the free to smart shopper route that the Fresh Living magazine had done and see if you can replicate that model. And Pick and Pay were already our clients at the time, had sponsored our food newsletter. And we thought, you know, this could really work. This could be our way into the market. We could still maintain a cover price value on the product and leverage their, you know, advanced and quite large loyalty card program. So we spoke to them. They acknowledged that we were crazy and that they loved the idea and that this is the kind of thing that, you know, could just work and is crazy enough to work. And, you know, they believed in our mission to get quality journalism in front of as many people as possible and at the same time, you know, drive those readers to potentially change some habits and, you know, go and shop at a Pick and Pay, picking up this, you know, free quality newspaper. So it was a win-win-win, you know, win for us to get to critical circulation, potentially getting to critical circulation much quicker and more efficient than we would with a big launch. It's a win for Pick and Pay because it drives feet into the stores, and it's a win for their loyalty card program holders who get a great product at no cost.
Absolutely, and that's the exact kind of partnership you want, where everyone walks away feeling like they've gained something, and it certainly looks that way. Stop by on a Saturday morning to pick up your free copy of Daily Maverick 168, and while you're there, perhaps pick up the Saturday Braai Meet as well. What does your research say about people still wanting print, though? And I know a lot of my colleagues, friends and family, and I love the FT Weekender, and there really isn't anything else in the South African marketplace that comes close to the FT. I hope that the DM does, though, and it has the potential to do so, because it's the one thing that the Daily Maverick has got right: long-form journalism with informed and well-articulated opinion and insight, rather than just the sound bites that we tend to get on Twitter.
Yeah, it's something that came up quite strongly in our research and our discussions and our sort of, you know, listening to that we did with our readers and our staff and, you know, everyone in our world. And the FT Weekend as a benchmark came up time and time again. And so that is something to aim for. And, you know, unfortunately, we can't replicate the model exactly because, you know, the FT does have the daily edition that it puts out during the week and then has the entire space of almost the entire publication to focus on a particular kind of journalism. But the long form stuff that we've been doing since day one, that we've, you know, everyone told us we were crazy to pursue in digital, you know, when we started out, and it's been the mainstay and the bedrock of building our brand and our reputation on the long form analysis, the opinions, the investigations, the op-ed contributions, all that kind of stuff is, you know, was just, you know, ready and primed to go into print publication. So our challenge is what to leave out. You know, we've got 40 pages. That's the number that we kind of crunch the numbers that could work and that we're going to start with. And really, you know, we're sitting here kind of going, mapping out what the content mix looks like and kind of like, geez, where, you know, how do we tick all the boxes? How do we make sure we cover the range that people expect from a weekend read? And, you know, but how do, you know, what do we leave out? And so we're fortunate enough to be the biggest producer of feature length content in the country, and we have been for a while now. We've probably got the most experienced newsroom in the country. And so the, you know, the content side of it is, you know, we really are blessed with so many talented journalists and editors, you know, in our midst. And so, yeah, it's really what to leave out. That's the heartbreaking part of this.
As you said in the editorial today, less of the tweets and twack. We want proper analysis. And I hope you keep that irreverence through the publication of this this weekend edition as well. Talk to me about the print costs. And obviously, you know, printers are under pressure all over the place because of COVID-19. Magazines have either just shut up shop altogether or they've gone entirely digital. And we know what's been happening with declining newspaper circulations. So I'm sure the printers must be very supportive of this to help grow their market as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's not too many new print publications coming to market. In fact, I think the Research Council said they had to dust off their archives to figure out what the onboarding process looks like for a new title. And, you know, you're right. The printers have been more than accommodating. They've been rooting for us. They've been, you know, structuring, you know, deals that can make it, you know, financially viable in the first year to help us get up off the ground and running as quickly as possible. And so, you know, we've been very well accommodated and encouraged and supported by the printers. And I'm hoping that we can, you know, put together a model that people can look to around the world and maybe in this country as well, that can potentially be replicated with, you know, quality journalism as the foundational element of this, but a, you know, a unique and innovative business model that, you know, relies on a lean approach, but an innovative approach to solving some of the problems of news publishing.
Are there any lessons that you can take and use from being a successful digital publisher and apply those in the world of brick and mortar?
Absolutely, and we've taken a very technological approach and a product design development approach to this in particular. You know, the process of asking people to vote for the store that they would like us to launch with is very much in line with how we try and launch all our digital products. We want to know what the demand is. We want to know where to go. We want to know how to be efficient. We want to know, you know, are we smoking our butts? You know, is the demand for this much greater or much less than we anticipated? And we can really see within, you know, 24 hours, 5,000 people have voted for a store, which gives us a lot of confidence and accuracy in, you know, where those copies should go to. So we are using data and we are using technology to influence our decisions and how to, you know, get a product to market a lot quicker and a lot more efficient with less risk, less wastage. And so these are the lessons we've learned the hard way after launching and failing many projects over the years. You know, we finally have figured out that there is a methodology that we can use even in a tangible print product like this that can really make it work. And so we know that the success of this product is going to rely on how well we use data and technology to make it a more successful and efficient product.
And I know it's a highly competitive landscape, Stilly, but one that will no doubt benefit if we see the likes of the Daily Maverick succeed with this. I wish you every success in the launch and through that period of the J curve, the valley of death, as they call it. Just keep on pushing through because South Africa needs good quality long form journalism, and you've certainly proved it in the digital space. And I look forward to picking up my copy of the Daily Maverick 168 when it's launched in the back end of September. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Michael.
And as Diddy said, there's going to be a vote for which Pick and Pay you think that should launch in. So go on and vote. It's all over Twitter. It's all over social media. And hopefully you'll get your copy at your local Pick and Pay. Diddy Sharalambos, the CEO of the Daily Maverick. Maybe not so mad after all. That's it for tonight. Thanks to Mataba Taba Radebe and Andries Mahlangu for keeping the show going on the straight and narrow as always. I'll leave you in the hands of Maestro Richard Koch in Joburg and San Mohammed in the Jazz Lounge in Cape Town. Good night.